Mafia Podcast.
Hello, everyone. I'm the Reverend Godfather. I'm recording this episode alone today. It's our one year anniversary type of episode. I'm just recording this myself, and to honor our 1 year anniversary, I decided to do something a little bit of a throwback, and that is to give you guys a guide to conventioneering for the new guy or the convention or new gal or the convention virgin, so to speak. But the reason why I want to do an episode like this is because the end of this week, I'm recording this on the 18th of July, and in a few days, San Diego Comic-Con is going to be upon us, and not only that, it's the summer months, and a lot of conventions across the country are happening, even though a lot of conventions do happen year-round, but still, for most people, I want to say the convention season is usually from like early spring, like March to maybe November. But still, as someone who doesn't, let me say it like this: if you've never been to a convention and you don't know where a convention near you is, I do recommend the site called conventionscene.com. It'll tell you what shows are near you or are happening during that particular month. Last check, they were still up and about. But for those who've never been, it's a going to one as a comic geek, a fan collector, or even just as like a hobbyist. It's like going into a candy shop with a sweet tooth. You could spend as little as nothing at a convention as a lot as, you know, several thousand. But still, for those of you going to your convention for the first time, I will tell you this. Going to a convention is like having sex for the first time. For those who have not had sex for the first time, how do I explain this without getting into too much trouble? But it's doing it is going to show. It's going to, you know, what I mean is that you can look at photos, read articles about what to do, you can watch videos, listen to your friends and family, mostly your friends, tell you about it, but, you know, nothing really prepares you for the first time, or in essence, in the convention aspect, walking through the doors for your first convention ever. It's the same thing, meaning there might be a mess the first time, some shock, some awe, some crying, and if things go well, you'll leave tired, hungry, and in a state of bliss, with some cases, a limp. yes, this has happened to me. Both convention and sexual. It relates. If it's funny, it's gross, but still, it's true. You're going to, at comic conventions, you're going to meet writers, artists, of your, a lot of the mainstream books, and sometimes it's the indie books, but some small comic conventions will have media guests from movies or television that kind of relate to what's going on, meaning a convention like Baltimore Comic-Con might have someone from the show Arrow or someone from Star Wars, because, you know, there are comic book versions of Star Wars and Flash and Green Arrow. So it kind of relates. They might have one or two stuff. But some of the best things that, like I say, you could go practically broke and still get stuff. The free stuff is you'll hear the popular word going around cons in reference to free stuff is swag. In some cases, depending on the convention you go to and where you go to, and like I said, the convention, where it is, how big the convention is, you could get everything from free issues to buttons to keychains to T-shirts. I've gotten video games, movies I've gotten, TV shows, like one or two TV shows. This year at AwesomeCon, I got socks. So you're going to get a lot of different stuff at a convention, but you could go just literally broke and get stuff. That's what I want to say. But if you are the first time convention goer, there are several things that you need to know. One of the first things is bring enough cash to get you there, through the door, parking, food, and home if need be, if you're driving there. One of the things I would also recommend is setting up a, if you're going to drive to a convention, I recommend driving within like a 2-hour radius, max 4 hours. That way, if you can't stay there for all 3 days or 2 days of this convention, you could easily drive back home. But what I mean by is, you know, bring enough to get there and back. That is your set amount to get there and back. Like for me to get to DC for the day, if it's a 3-day show and I'm only there on Friday, it costs me $50 to get there, back, and have food. But if you're going to someplace like Baltimore, I'd say my cost would be about $110. And I'd say, let's go with both Baltimore and AwesomeCon. To get to Baltimore and through the door cost me about $80. That's there, back, food, and ticket. For Baltimore, that's $20 gas, which would get me there and back if I had a usable car. Or if I'm bribing somebody, $20 there and back. I'm going to go on the high side. Always go on the high side. About $20 for gas, $30 for parking, that's 50. Let's say 30 to get in the door, that's 80. And maybe about $20 for food. That's $100. If you want to go, bring a little bit extra more, depending on what kind of restaurant you want to go to. And also, a little extra for any metro buses, trains, so forth and so on that you might need. And don't forget any hotels you might need and tolls and the other added expenses. So, if you're traveling to, let's use the Safe House to Philly, you're going to need gas money to get to Philly. Like, I would need gas money to get to Philly, tolls to get to Philly, tolls back. Parking each 3 of the days, not to mention hotel cost, food cost, and everything else. But everything beyond that cost, let's go with again, Baltimore, just the $100. That $100, once you have it, forget it. Meaning, once you're there, once everything is paid up to that point, meaning you're not going to pay the $30 for the parking until you go. So that $35, tuck it away somewhere in your wallet or your purse or whatever, and forget the fuck out of it. Like it does not exist. That $30 does not exist. The $20 for food does not exist until you're ready to buy food or ready to pay for your parking. Other than that, it does not exist, because the last thing you want to do is spend that money at the convention and not be able to get back home or get your car out of the parking garage or what have you. Some people I know also recommend leaving your ATM card at home if you're driving, that you're not paying for, have that temptation to pay for something on your credit card or your ATM card. That way you're budgeting yourself for that. That's always a good advice. As to bring stuff with you or wearing for the day, if you're not dressing up for the convention as like Spider-Man or Harley Quinn or Deadpool or whatever you're cosplaying as, wear something comfy. If it's hot out, wear a short sleeve t-shirt and shorts if need be. And not to mention comfy shoes. You don't want to be if you're a woman or whatever your choice is, you don't want to be walking around in like 6-inch stiletto heels. Comfy shoes. I recommend sneakers are always the best thing. If anything, get yourself some Dr. Scholl's gels in them, and you'll last you a good day. Another thing I recommend bringing with you is a decent backpack or a satchel. For the stuff you do get, bring, or both. Like I said, you might get a lot of cons do have swag or free shit or free stuff. You need some place to put that, and some conventions do not provide a shopping bag. But it's always nice to have something with you, so I recommend a decent backpack. You get, I've gotten the two backpacks I have. One is very large. I got it for like $2 at a yard sale, and the other backpack that I have, I got for free. But you could probably get a decent backpack at like Goodwill for like $5, $10, not even. Now that's getting close to school season. You could probably find a decent backpack for a couple of bucks on the cheap. I'm trying to save some of you guys some money. That's also why I think driving to a convention is also good. That way you could always toss stuff in your car and go back. And another thing is, again, simple, cheap one will do. Trust me when I say that if you have enough cash, you could quite literally leave the convention with a trunk full of stuff. I've had before. Several friends of mine could vouch for that. Also, I know everybody nowadays has a smartphone, and thus, if you have a smartphone, you have a camera. But there are a good many people out there that rather have a camera, something that just takes photos or video. But if you do bring your own camera, make sure you have fresh batteries. It's always a good idea. Or in some cases, charging cable, because of smartphones and MP3 players and the whatnot, charging cables is always good to have with you on hand. I'll say that now. And not to mention having a camera with you, a separate camera, that way if your phone dies on you and there's no place to charge your phone, you have still a way to take photos. If you're there for a few days, even still, I'll go one further with this. If you're there, going to be there for a few days, don't forget to bathe. Stick a brick of soap underneath each armpit. You know, bathe. As a friend of mine once said, even if you have to do a whore bath at a 7-Eleven bathroom or McDonald's bathroom, you know, something washing in the sinks to get rid of some of the funk off you, then do so. But, I know it sounds rude and cruel, but con funk happens, con stink happens. The last thing anybody wants to smell is you or someone else's stink while in line. One of the things that I do to kind of prevent that and to battle that, because I am a fat boy and stink does happen whether I want it or not, especially when it's hot and sweaty out. So, meaning if it's hot out, I get sweaty, and when I sweat, I tend to stink. So, to kind of combat that, what I started to bring with me is a small can of El Cheapo body spray and a small thing of maybe like hand wipes or body wipes with me. That way I could go into the bathroom and just, you know, just clean up a little bit and get rid of some of the sweat, and it helps. It makes me feel less stinky. Another thing I want to talk about is food and drink at the conventions. Granted that everybody who's been to convention knows that you could get like a can of soda for, like, if you want a can of soda, it's like $5. I know it sounds like I'm exaggerating, but sure as hell, I've seen can of sodas like for $2 or $3, and bottles of soda for $4 or $5, and then large cup of soda, $8, and it's mostly ice. Because that's where the convention centers usually get some of their money as well, is the overpriced hot dogs and the overpriced, you know, soda. They disallow outside food and drink, but there are ways around that. Most conventions will probably allow you having a bottle of water with you, or a kind of simple water bottle that you can get, you know, for a bike or walking, something like that. Because they don't want to see you get dehydrated and fall on face first on the convention floor. That's no good for the convention and that's happening, or the center. So besides, you could always fill it up with water. Food, on the other hand, can be a little bit tough. But I recommend pocket food, kind of like crackers or beef jerky, Pop-Tarts. Something that can, you know, is quick and fend off hunger until you can get to a decent restaurant or fast food joint. And besides, it's kind of like that type of pocket food, or, you know, small little thing of crackers and Pop-Tarts and beef jerky is like, I laughingly call as prison food. Because you could trade it for favors with other people in line. Just, you know, if the line's slow, you gotta take a leak, they'll, you know, hey, I'll give you some pieces of beef jerky and this juice box if you let me, you know, if you keep an eye on my shit. So, yeah, I've done that before. Yes, it has worked. But bribes do happen, and yes, it will happen, has happened, and always will happen. One of the things I will say this right now before we continue, but I'm getting ahead of myself for that. One of the things I wanted to say at the convention, mind your P's and T's. That means your pleases and your thank yous. Trust me, basic courtesy and politeness can and always does go a very long way at conventions. I know a lot of cosplayers can be very, very rude. They can, especially the ones that are, in essence, half naked, and they just had their photo taken 500 times the past hour, and they'll be the first ones to tell you off all about this gripe, and all you did was, you know, may I have your photo, get a photo of you, and the other one's saying, I can't believe 500, well, you're the one that had to dress like that, not my fault, but still, and mind your P's and T's. Sometimes you get, you know, hey, one of the things I bring with me is to get signed is a sketchbook. And the artists usually tell me I'm not doing sketches right now, or the whatnot. And I'm like, hey, listen, I'm not really asking for a sketch. I just want, you know, I'm just happy to meet you. I like your work. Yes, it sounds like I'm brown-nosing, but if I'm honest and sincere about it, sometimes they give me a little quick sketch. You know, sometimes it happens. That's what being polite does. And sometimes, what usually happens, especially, you get sometimes, hey, you know, how much is that? And they'll say, you know what, it has $100 on it, I'm going to knock it down to $80. Sometimes it's because they don't want to get rid of it. Sometimes you're being extremely polite and nice to them. That's one of the things I want to say is, like, bring that, you know, sketchbook or something to get signed. The program's always... I think I'm getting my head myself. But next up, create a hit list or a checklist. That'll give you... what tends to happen to a lot of people, they get excited when they go to a convention and they forget who they want to get and who they want to meet and what they want to do. Creating that checklist or that hit list, as I call it, will help you out remember what to do and what to keep an eye out for in reference to what you get. As far as planning is concerned, plan for everything up until the moment of the convention starts and after the convention ends. Meaning, plan how to get there, plan how to get home, plan for the funding to get there, and everything else. But what happens at the convention is like chaos. It's just, you know, the odds, or I should say, because once the convention starts, the odds that whatever you plan for is going to take a dive quickly, and that has happened to me various times. Each time I went to 3 days type cons, planning out, okay, this day I'm going to do this, this day I'm going to do that, and this day I'm going to do that, and I'm all done on the first day because lines are quick and everything was easy and I got everything done, and that means the next 2 days I don't know what do. So planning the convention is like, yeah, no, just roll with it. Have your checklist. I said, meaning, you each day of the convention, I said, you can usually sometimes can finish everything in one day. Please don't mind me. I'm trying to read my notes. It's like right now 3:00 in the morning as I record this. Basically, depending on how the convention's set up and you know, the celebrity when the celebrities arrive and some of the guests arrive, all that can toss your plans to the dogs faster than you can say salt shaker. As per funds that you can, going into a convention, like I said, keep the travel and the basics away from the actual convention funds. And make sure that the convention funds are strictly that, for funds for the convention. Save up for it, because the last thing you want to do is spend all your money for food, your rent money, your mortgage money, your insurance money, your electric money. The last thing you want to do is spend all that at the convention, because you could spend $1,000 at a convention as quickly as you could spend $5. Literally, I am not lying. I've spent both in a matter of minutes and both in a matter of hours. Just, again, please, when you go to a convention, you're bringing actually spending money, not rent money or bill money or food money. Also, that being said, one of the best pieces of advice came from a buddy of mine down in Florida. He said, I leave my ATM card and my credit cards at home because that way I'm not tempted to overspend. I just go with maybe $50, $60, maybe $100, and that's it. Not to mention, it keeps me from tapping into my rent money and my electric bill money and my cable money and other money that I need for bills. I have separate money that I could spend on. Also, please be forewarned, even though some conventions do have celebrity guests like Christopher Lloyd. Yeah, you're not going to see Emma Watson, but like Emma Watson or William Shatner or Billy West. But please be mind that these guests, like William Shatner and Billy West and Mark Hamill, charge for their autographs. Literally, they do charge for autographs. Some, depending on the celebrity the stature of the celebrity, some celebrities can charge maybe about $20 to $40. Depending on the show. If you bring your own item, what would be a $30 chart? Meaning, if you go to a particular con and someone is there signing, and you have something from that show. Let's take Walking Dead. That's a perfect example. If it's a Walking Dead guest and you have a Walking Dead poster that you want signed, and their fee is $30, sometimes because you brought something, they'll knock it down to $20. But there are celebrities like William Shatner from Star Trek and Priceline, you know, adverts, can charge at least $65, if not more. You have people like Mark Hamill, who voices the Joker and was Luke Skywalker from Star Wars. He can charge up to $150. So please do your research in reference to the celebrities if they do charge. Bank on that they do charge. Always bank on that. Always bet on the fact that the celebrities will charge a fee. If you hear that a certain celebrity charges $60 and they have, and some cons they charge $40, bank on the $60 charge. That way, if they do charge the lower amount, meaning if you hear, okay, I'm going to get Mark Hamill's autograph, I'm hearing $150. And when you get his autograph, he charges only $100. That means you now have $50 to spend someplace else. So the extra funds you walk away with, or in the rare case, a convention that doesn't charge, you have, that's rare. You're not going to see a convention that the celebrity guests don't charge. It has, back in the early days, like back in 2002, I've seen celebrities not charge for autographs. I've had friends and I've had relatives who went to conventions and said, hey, I've met, you know, William Shatner before, back in the early 80s at a convention, he didn't charge. Now he's charging $65. That was back then, this is now. But still. But bringing stuff unique, when you do meet the celebrities, bring something unique. That way, they're always signing the same thing, meaning someone from Star Wars, like Mark Hamill, is always probably signing something that's Joker-related or something that's Star Wars-related. Yeah, you could bring something Star Wars-related for them to sign, but they're always signing the standard stuff. If you could find something unique on the cheap, do so. I've brought sales. When I met Will from Boy Meets World / Girl Meets World, who also voiced the Batman character in Batman Beyond, I brought an actual production cell, and that's going to stick in his mind that someone actually brought with them a production cell, and it's different, and it's unique. They're going to remember that, even though they're going to be signing other Batman Beyond stuff, and other Boy Meets World stuff, and Girl Meets World stuff. It's just something different that they probably have not seen yet, or seen before, or see a few times. That helps. It's fun for them, or bringing up stuff that they don't get a chance to talk about, meaning that they're always talking about, like Ray Park, who is best known for his character Darth Maul from Star Wars. Everybody that's going to go up to him is going to be talking about Star Wars. Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars. He's done stuff for X vs. Sever. He's done X-Men. He played Toad in X-Men. He was a stuntman on one of the Mortal Kombat movies. So, yeah, talking to him something other than Star Wars breaks the monotony for him. So that's always good if you know that that particular celebrity's background history. Don't forget the panels. A lot of conventions have panels. Panels are usually quite, for those who don't know what a panel is, and those who don't never been to a convention, panels are basically question and answer sessions put on by the convention event itself, and they could be about anything and everything. Sometimes they're about news, about if it's like a comic convention. Sometimes it's about news, what's coming out in the year. Sometimes it's something educational, like how to create your own costumes. Or, like Baltimore one year did, the aspect of why comics are banned. Or, sometimes they're just a fun convention in reference to celebrities that you enjoyed as a kid. Like, we put on, as from a show, I did hosted the Good versus Evil panel for Four State Retro Pop Culture and Comic Con this past April 30th, which is available, you know, shameless plug, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play Music, also on our website, thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, links in the description of the show. But it's a way to ask questions of celebrities and so forth, and being both in front, behind the scenes in reference to the panel, and front of the panel, it's always interesting, it's great, it's awesome. It was very nerve-wracking for me the first time I did it. Again, it was like having sex for the first time. Yes, it sounds gross, I don't care, but it's a great analogy, and it fits, and it works. But, also the first panel I hosted, it was kind of like a more, not so much like having sex for the first time, I put it kind of more along the lines of a car accident, you know, being just hyped up and just, once everything was over, the adrenaline rush just went away and I was sitting there shaking, wanting a blanket and a cup of coffee. That aspect, and being second panel that I did with the Power Rangers panel, was like being part of a family and being welcomed and everything else. Not to mention, the panels are a great way to, sit back, and relax a little bit, get yourself organized, especially if it's just a throwaway panel for you, meaning that you just want to sit down, listen to, have it like a background noise type of deal, and they're just, the panel is just pretty much, okay, folks, this is what's going to be coming out for our new line of comics this year. Yet all you're doing is just reorganizing what you got to show. You might be browsing through some of the stuff you picked up, or you just want to get off your feet for about an hour or so. They're great just to, you know, sit back, relax. But if you do that, something like that, please keep the noise down low so others can pay attention. So best thing to do is sit like towards the back, so to allow the people in the front to concentrate better. And not be a distraction for everybody else. Depending on how slow the convention might be, sometimes you could have a panel without actually going to a panel. Meaning, if you're speaking with a artist or writer or celebrity guest on the show floor, and there's not really, I'm not saying they're not popular, but if there's a slow point in the show, the convention, you could be talking with these people for a half hour, 45 minutes about different things. And sometimes it leads to, I've been in like signing sessions on the show floor, and it turned into a drawing lesson because people have come up and asked, you know, how does that artist draw something? And it turns into what he's drawing for me. Turns into a drawing lesson, or talk about someone's new project. That's the beauty of it, and it's just fun. While you're at the conventions, don't forget to say hi to the artists and writers and people there. You know, when you get stuff signed, this is where a lot of the P's and T's come in. You know, though someone will tell you that the artist won't... Whoever tells you that artists won't or rarely do a quick sketch, let me be the person that tells you a good percentage will. But it depends on the type of convention. But I'm going to say about 65% will. But it doesn't seem high, but it's better than the 5% that the naysayers will tell you. Meaning that when I first started going to conventions, I was told they won't do you a quick sketch. You have to get the, you know, it's going to be very rare that you get a quick sketch or any type of thing from an artist at a convention. Yeah, that'll never happen. Rubble. And I go to Wizard World Philly for the first time, and they're literally drawing sketches. And the next year I went to Philly with a sketchbook just as like a catch-all for autographs. They were doing quick sketches left and right, and even though I've paid for sketches before, but the number of free sketches I got from artists was way higher than the 5% that the naysayers and the rabble people were saying. Mostly the people that say, oh, you'll never get a quick sketch, especially on a comic or something like that, it's usually the dealers, it's usually the comic book shops and stuff like that that will tell you that, you know, you'll never get that. It's so that when they go and they get it, they could turn around and sell it to you for double the cost. Meaning that if that particular issue only cost $5, that back issue cost $5, oh, it's signed by the artist, now it's worth $8. Oh, it has a quick sketch on it, now it's worth $15. So that's why they tell you it doesn't happen often, so they can milk more money off of you. But either way, when you do go for sketches, there are several options for you. Pardon me, I was just getting a drink. If you go to like a strictly comic convention, like Baltimore Comic Con or Virginia Comic Con, and you bring comics with you, one of the big questions that was brought up is how many comics should I bring to an artist to get signed or a comic book writer to get signed? Personally, I want to say no more than 5. No more than 5. The best number range is 2 to 5. 5 is pushing it because you don't... If the person's really popular, you're going to hold up the line. That's why I don't really ask for sketches if I use my my sketchbook. It kind of speeds up the line. You got to think of the people behind you. But if you... Usually, like I said, usually the standard autographs for comic book conventions is, of course, comic books. Limit to no more than 5. If they're going to be there for a while, and you have more than 5 to get signed, and the line is short enough, you know what? Get more. Go back in line. But you have a few artists and writers nowadays have issued a 2-book limit, and meaning that automatically, the first two books, free, you know, free, we'll sign those 2 books, but every book after that is going to be $2. And what the article I read in reference to what some of these artists are doing is that they're not pocketing the $2, they're putting that $2 towards charity. And one of the big charities that that a lot of conventions have is Hero. I think it's called Hero. If not Hero, it's Actor. It's either Hero, Actor, or the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. Hero and Actor is usually the same group. I think they changed their name from one to the other. But it's a good group. It helps a lot of artists that are in need or that are between projects and they need funds for bills or something like that. That's what that group helps with. But Comic Book Legal Defense Fund is an organization that, because there are a lot of places in this country that if you're an independent artist, they don't want you to do that particular comic or distribute it, and they automatically ban it for whatever reason. The Comic Book Legal Defense Fund helps there to get lawyers and legal, you know, expenses paid. But again, to go back to getting something signed, you don't have to, especially if you're there at a convention, you don't have to get a comic signed or the standard photo signed if there's media guests. Think outside the box. Like I said, a lot of times you can get stuff on the cheap through eBay, through some of the vendors will sell you stuff cheap. And I'm honest about that. Just think outside the box. Some of the following items can be used for sketchers and signatures as well. The first item is going to be like the board. For those who don't collect comics, they don't know about this, but there is a type of holder that people, comic book collectors, keep comic books in. And it's called a bag and board. The board is pretty much a very thick cardstock piece of, I don't want to say piece of paper. It's borderline like cardboard. It's like a type of project board, but it's about 8.5, about the size of a typical comic book anyway. But it has a glossy side and a matte side. The matte side of the boards are used, you know, just is able to take sketches and signatures. Just remember to let the ink dry before putting it back in the bag. Not to mention, the reason why this is good is the boards are easily, if you get that sketch on the matte side of the board, these boards are easily framed. The next item I endorse for getting something signed, if you don't have any comics to get signed, or if it's your first convention whatsoever, is the convention's events handy little helper that you are able to get a handful, or I should say buy the handful at any freaking con, and that's the convention program. About 95% of all conventions give out a program of some sort, and there are tons of programs. So again, snagging a few to get signed, and meaning if you're able to grab like a handful, and what I mean by a handful is like 10, 12 sometimes. So keeping one or two to actually plan what to do at a convention is fine. Literally, when I've stayed overnight at certain cities for a convention, I've gotten like 3 or 4 extra convention guides, one to personally have in my hand and mark up all over the place, another convention that I'll tear out the pages and tack them on, you know, put them up on the wall with like easy removable tape that's not going to be, you know, wrecking the hotel room I'm at. So again, it's just, not to mention they're frameable too. Even though some are thick, some are thin, but still, the programs are always, yeah, no matter what, thick and thin, the programs are your friend. And one of the things that AwesomeCon does correctly is, in their book, for their celebrity guests, they list the prices that each celebrity charges for a photo op and an autograph. So you know for a fact right off the bat that particular celebrity is going to be charging X amount of money. So that's always helpful. Next thing is sketchbooks. They're also great for both sketches and signatures. The downsides to sketchbooks are, if you're getting sketches, you have to give up the book until it's done. And especially if that artist is doing more than, if you're number 2 or 3 in line of a sketch, yeah, you're going to be waiting a while, so see the other means of getting autographs, like the convention program, bags and boards, bring posters if need be. That's next. That yet one is leaving the book till the sketch is done. Next thing is the sketch slash signature bleed, because if they use a Sharpie instead of a pen, and most artists and writers will use a Sharpie, it tends to bleed to the page that's behind it. So, again, using a scrap piece of paper or a convention program on the other side will help limit that down. I recommend using at least a bag, a board back in there, like a bag from the board of a bag and board to help in there, something equally stiff. To kind of, again, or to prevent it, to use this piece of scrap paper, put in there, typing paper, printer paper, something, put something in there to help limit it. Again, if you have a crap ton of programs in your pack, just tear one up and put it in. Just remember to put the paper right behind the next page, meaning once you get it done, just remember to move that piece of paper back one page so it limits the bleed. Another thing is sketchbooks can run from $10 on up. They can always be found at a craft store and or Walmart. But one of the things I also tell people, if you're going to a convention, even though you could go there and have fun with like $5 all the way up to $5,000, in both instances, or in every instance, you could spend it in anywhere between have that $5 last all day, or you could have it gone in 5 minutes. The same thing can be said about $5,000. I've seen it happen. It has happened with me with $1,700. But no matter what, but I'm getting ahead of myself. The best days to shop, actually shopping once you get your, if you're there to shop, the best day to do that is a Sunday. The reason why I say a Sunday is because the artists, the celebrities, and the vendors, they don't want to haul back everything. So they want, you're not going to get a deep discount. What I'm saying is you're not going to get a $50, $100 item for $50 or $25, but you might get it instead of $100, you're going to get maybe $80. Or you're going to get, you know, if you spend $100, you're going to get a, you know, hey, you know what, I don't want to lug this extra lithograph home with me. You know what, you spent $80 here, here's an extra lithograph. You know, you're instead of buying one for $10, you're getting one for $10 and you're getting another one free. That has always happened. Also, being polite helps sometimes as well. It's always random, but there is a math to it. Sometimes you're able to get a great deal on a if it's a 3-day show, sometimes you're able to get a great deal on a Friday as well as a Sunday, just that your odds are higher on a Sunday than you are than on a Friday. Trust me on that. Your odds are getting a good deal on a Sunday. Just be nice, and regards to cosplayers / booth babes, please be nice. Always be nice to them. But because even though they can be rude to you, be polite to them. Don't be a freaking creeper to a cosplayer. Please don't. Please don't. That'd be the number one advice that a lot of cosplayers would tell fans. Don't be a creeper. Don't wander in thinking that you're gonna get, you know, something between that chick, you're going to get between that chick's costume and her just because you asked her. You know, you're being a creepazoid. You know, you're being a dick. Just be polite. Also, no matter what, if you go by yourself with family or friends, have fun. even though if you're there with family and or friends, meaning if you're there with wife and kids or husband and kids, yeah, you got to concentrate and make sure nobody runs off and so forth and so on, and everybody's fed and having fun. But if you're there with friends, it's okay to be a little bit narcissistic, which means self-centered. Think of yourself. You'll have a lot more fun. You're also there to meet new people. So again, have fun. Do all the things you set out to do that day and see. You don't have to get extras for others. Those will just happen. Sometimes you're able to get extras. I know it sounds rude, but you can get more done. And still, if you get, think of yourself first, put yourself first. You're able to get what you need and what you want done first. And if you have time, then think about your friends, picking up something your friends, if you have the cash. Don't worry about it if you don't. Again, if you're there with family, if they're having fun as well as you, and they're having, you know, everybody's happy and having fun, and fine, whatever. Have fun with it. Take it from someone, you know, who knows. Trust me, if you have questions or if you think I'm forgetting something else, you can always email me at or email the show at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. You could also listen to our past episodes on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music, and our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and on our website, and plus I think they're also on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher, which is our panels that we did and our interviews at the convention, so you can always see what we've done there and enjoy that. And it's always great when podcasters go to a convention and do interviews. Think of that, because you're getting something free. Yeah, it might take you an extra few days to get that particular item, but you're getting something free. We are on Twitter, our Twitter and our Instagram handles are the same, and both of which are Longcoat Mafia. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/ The Longcoat Mafia Podcast. There should be more, but still. Normally, I'd say we would be going to the library convention this August, but I'm not going to say more now. I'm going to save it for our hostful. But for now, we're already at about an hour. I'm going to add the little ending to this, and I'm going to post it and go to bed, because it is right now 3:30 in the morning, and I am tired as freaking hell. So, till next time, till next week, see you guys. May you guys put peanut butter on everything that you tend to love. Later.
It's shocking, humiliating, and it's unacceptable.
Oh, come on, it's a classic. The only show in the world that gets better the more it's rerun.
Do I get a choice?
No! No!
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.